Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As advertised, Brian Baldinger has joined us for a segment called A Segment with Brian Baldinger. And he, of course, with the NFL Network and Radio.com NFL Insider, he is. Brian, how the hey are you?
Well, hello, Steve. I'm doing fantastic. I'm like everybody else. I'm trying to get through this nonsense of this Thursday and get ready to the real season here starting September 4th.
Nonsense. You're calling all of this with the exhibition, the preseason, with the Butchers, the Bakers, the Candlestick Makers, you're calling it nonsense. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
you know, are you saying it isn't worth the price of a regular season game to see backups in a controlled scrimmage?
I would definitely say that, Steve. I mean, I don't know what the reduction should be, but it shouldn't be the face value on one of those game tickets. I know that.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you think we should have two preseason games and 18 regular season games? That's been a discussion.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to – I think that's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I mean, the NFLPA, the Players Association, is going to have to ratify that, and there's going to be some negotiations to get there. But the league has been talking about it for a long, long time, and it's, you know, it's a league that a couple of years ago was a $10 billion league, and they were trying to grow it to a $25 billion league. And if they want to do that, they've got to grow revenue. And one of the ways to grow revenue – is to increase the number of regular season games.
Yeah. And Brian, we understand for sure why coaches and teams aren't going to play the regulars for the most part during the four games. They'll get in maybe a half and certainly maybe a little bit with the fourth preseason game. But the downside or the irony of it all by not having your regulars get out there in the preseason is that they're not ready when the regular season starts. Your comments on that?
I agree with you, Steve. I've been saying it for years now that September is the new August, and we see a lot of bad football in September. And, you know, I mean, the Patriots always kind of struggle, it seems like, out of the gate, but they figure it out and make the necessary changes. But that's where you're at. And I think that the downside to this whole thing, Steve, is I think you're just going to see a flurry of injuries. You can't go from running around in shorts and some of these scrimmages that are very, very controlled, and I understand the value of them, but they're so controlled that nobody really hits. And all of a sudden you're just going at, you know, warp speed on September 8th, and you know, the downside is you're just going to get this flurry of injuries that I think we didn't used to get when the body was really conditioned to the hitting and the contact.
Speaking of injuries, of course, the surprising news about Andrew Luck. He's had enough at the age of 29. Your comments on that?
You know, I understand. I did a film session with him, Steve, back at the Pro Bowl, myself and Ron Jaworski. Mm-hmm. And we sat down with him. And the one thing that came out of our session with him, outside of, you know, just a, you know, pretty smart football player, was just his renewed love for the game after basically suffering through two injury-marred seasons, and just how much fun it was to get back out there in the field, you know, be around his teammates, really enjoyed playing for Frank Reich, and then having success too. I mean, it seemed like that was all behind him, but we don't know anything about this injury that has saddled him and did saddle him throughout the entire offseason. We don't have any idea exactly what it was and how painful it was, but it was enough that he said enough. And he is a different guy, Steve. I mean, I was around him his senior year at Stanford. Mm-hmm. He could have easily come out and probably been the first pick after his junior year. But when I interviewed him at Stanford his senior year, he was riding his mountain bike, had a book bag on his shoulder. He was going to class. He was in flip-flops. He enjoyed being a student. I think he's just one of the rare guys out there that enjoys a lot of other things besides just playing quarterback on Sundays. And I think he made that decision to do it.
And it's been said that he made this decision to retire now when he still could make a decision.
Yeah, I mean, he could have easily put this off if he wasn't ready to play. They could have put him on injury reserve, reserve injury list, and missed 6 weeks and gotten back for the last, 3 months of the season. But he said he's had enough. And while the team, I don't know if the team was held hostage or not. I don't know when he told Jim Irsay or Frank Reich or Chris Ballard, the general manager. But I think he's comfortable with the decision he made. And, if he got booed or people were like coming down on him, I think he anticipated that. But I also think he made the decision with a clear conscience and one where he's not going to waffle. And a year from now, he's going to ask permission to come back. I think this is final. In fact, I don't know that we'll even see Andrew Luck kind of around the game in any capacity.
Yeah, well, there are some reports that we've seen today that from the close friends, some of his teammates, former teammates now with the Colts, that they believe he won't come back. Do you respect his decision, Brian?
I do. I do, Stephen. And, look, I had a different mindset. I believe that you should play as long as you can and then two more years. That's kind of where I was. I played 12, and I tried like heck to play a 13th year. Most guys are like that. Most guys, aren't ready to leave the field even when their body tells them they're ready. His Stanford education was important to him. He could have left without that education. He's worn a wardrobe that looks like it's something from the Salvation Army as long as I've known him. I mean, I don't think money really motivates him. I don't think it ever did. I think competition and being around teammates motivated him to a large extent. But, I was there in Indianapolis the day that he had a lacerated spleen. And this shoulder injury, he rebuilt his shoulder. I mean, only a player knows just the level of pain and aggravation that you go through. And really, that does take a lot of the joy out of the game when you're injured more than you are healthy. And it will sap a player of his love of the game.
I think the Colts today had Osweiler, who was filling in for Ryan Tannehill last year in Miami. I think Osweiler appeared at Colts camp today. And if they choose to go with him, if they choose to make him a part of their roster, it's going to be a long season for the Colts anyway.
I don't think so, Steve. I'm a fan of Jacoby Brissett. The first thing you have to realize is this guy is big and strong and very sturdy. I mean, he's 6'4", 240 pounds, and he moves well. He won his first start on a Monday night as a rookie for the Patriots. He was traded for 2 weeks before the start of the season 2 years ago and kind of got thrown into it. It's a much better team now. He doesn't have to be a superstar. I think that the Colts are going to be very competitive, and I think people will be very surprised by how well Jacoby Brissett plays. Now, Chad Kelly, Jim Kelly's nephew, may have a chance to make this team. He's going to be suspended the first 2 weeks. So they got to get somebody, up and ready here to back up Jacoby if anything should happen to him. But I think you'll see Sam Bradford. I mean, I think you'll see guys off the wire. You may see a lot of names that we've heard of go through Indianapolis here in the next couple of weeks as maybe a guy that could back up Jacoby.
And none of them as good as Andrew Luck was when he was healthy and had a decent, which wasn't too often, a decent offensive line in front of him. Let me ask you this about Antonio Brown. Do you think he's a head case?
Yeah, I do. But I think he's a manageable head case. I think John Gruden has coached those type of players before. I'm not reading into anything that Hard Knocks is showing me on Tuesday nights from NFL Films, but I think that, I just got to see what kind of chemistry he has with the quarterback, because I'm not sold on John Gruden loving his quarterback. I mean, I know he's the starter, but I'm not sold that he believes he's the answer. But at some point, your quarterback has to get the ball to your wide receivers. And in certain times in Pittsburgh, when Ben, who's been basically about as good as you can get over the course of the last 15 years, when he didn't get the ball to him, there was some shenanigans there. It's just who Antonio Brown is. And so if he's not getting 12 or 15 targets a game and they're losing, He's not going to stay quiet and keep to himself. And he's going to fire off a tweet, or he's going to, like, it's just going to happen. I mean, he's just wired that way.
And what did Antonio Brown say today, more or less saying to Ben Roethlisberger, shut up?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, he can't really let anything – he got a new deal in Oakland. He's extremely well compensated. He's got a new beginning. But he can't seem to let anything go in Pittsburgh, whether it's Juju Smith-Schuster and kind of a little Twitter war with him, or things that Ben said about, you know, I wish we could have salvaged our friendship, and there was never a friendship. I mean, he better off just trying to get on the field in Oakland and helping the Raiders right now.
And, of course, also, this is the kind of story also that you get in with the exhibition, but before we get to the real thing and start taking it all very seriously once we get the regular season started. Here's the kind of stories, not only with Antonio Brown and his grievances with his helmet, but also comments made by Odell Beckham Jr. and Baker Mayfield about the Giants. And, of course, that certainly lit up the phone lines here in New York City, Brian, about Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield. You would think they would mind their own business, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, the Baker deal seems like it's a little bit out of context here, Steve. He did the interview back in April, you know, and it sort of blew up now. But, look. Cleveland is going to be under a microscope. I'm going to be there September 8th when they take on Tennessee. They're expecting big things. But people also know that there could be some real fireworks there too. And so all eyes will be on Cleveland to just see how their egos just get along. And if they can put it together and leave all the other stuff alone and concentrate on winning football games. They were pretty good the second half of the season last year. The roster has been vastly upgraded. They've got a good roster. But, you know, it's all about team and being a team. And so we'll see if they're good teammates in addition to being talented players.
Daniel Jones with what time, and he spent most of the time behind center with Eli Manning, not playing too much, of course, maybe a series or two, not much at all during the preseason so far. Would you be starting Daniel Jones? He's looked terrific against the Butchers, the Bakers, the Candlestick Makers.
He's looked very good. And the one thing we haven't seen from him yet, Steve, in his 20 of 25 performance and touchdowns and moving the team, is we really haven't had to see, because the offensive line has played well, we really haven't seen his athletic ability. And he's got terrific athletic ability. He can really run. He can escape, harm's way. He can scramble for first downs. I mean, he's pretty athletic. And he's big. And he's very, very smart. And, I mean, he looks to me like he's just the second coming of Eli. Now, I don't know when the Giants will make the switch, if they even make the switch this year. But, I went to Duke. We don't get a chance to talk about a lot of Duke guys. I know who's – I mean, he literally reminds you of Eli. He looks like Eli. He sounds like Eli. He's been coached like Eli. He's been watching the tapes of Eli. He's worked out with Eli. I mean, he looks like the next Manning, for crying out loud. So, but with a lot more athletic ability. So he's been very impressive. And if the Giants had to, and they don't have to, but if they had to start Daniel Jones against the Cowboys on, 2 weeks from Sunday, I would say that he would probably play pretty well.
Well, they're not going to do that. And John Mara, as you know, has said, we hope we don't see Daniel Jones on the field all season long, which is a compliment, of course, some respect being paid to Eli Manning. And you would think drafting Jones and number six, and Jones looking good against the Butchers, Bakers, Candlestick Makers, that he would start against Dallas opening day. But no, that's not going to happen. Do you think that's a huge mistake?
I don't think it's a mistake. I mean, look, they have treated Eli about as well as you can treat a guy that has meant everything to that organization for 15 years. I mean, they really treated him well. They've upgraded the offensive line. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't pleased that they spent the sixth pick on a quarterback. I think he'd much rather have had an elite wide receiver. But I think Eli, he understands the business and that the clock is ticking for him, and he's got to play well. And if he doesn't play well, or if the team doesn't play well, then they're going to turn it over to Daniel Jones and start fresh and start a, you know, a new era in Giant football. So I think Eli is well aware of everything. I mean, he was benched 2 years ago. It was a disaster. So, I mean, he's been through a little bit of what's coming. And he understands. I mean, he's watched this kid in practice. He probably thinks he's pretty good, too, you know, watching him and watching how he's played in the preseason. So when that happens in any organization, whether it was Aaron Rodgers waiting to supplant, you know, Brett Favre, or Steve Young waiting to, you know, take over Joe Montana, it's always just a matter of time. Sometimes, like Favre, you could play really, really well and keep him on the bench. And sometimes you don't keep him on the bench. And you get the heir apparent steps up.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Is Sam Darnold going to take him to the postseason? Serious January football. Brian, give us the word.
Well, I think it's I think that might be a little premature this year. I know this. They've got a good general manager in there right now in Joe Douglas. He's already made three big moves since the start of training camp. You know, the cornerback that he just got from Indianapolis today, Alex Lewis from the Ravens, Matt Khalil, Ryan Khalil out of retirement. I mean, and you can, I can write it down right now, Steve. There's going to be 10 more before Thanksgiving. I mean, he's going to do nothing but upgrade the roster at every chance he gets. And that's a good thing. I mean, they need competition inside that locker room. There's a lot of positions that are pretty average on that football team right now, and Joe Douglas knows it. And he'll go about fixing it like he has the Ravens and like he has the Eagles. So I feel good that they've got a guy in charge. I think the offense has a chance of being pretty good, though. I really do. And I think Sam Darnold will play pretty well. But they've got some pieces now. Robbie Anderson, I think, is, you know, a real number one. And it'll be good to get the tight end back, Herndon. We got to see what Le'Veon could do. But I think they're going to be a pretty good offense.
By the way, the slot corner that they picked up today from Indianapolis, not very good. He started outside of his rookie season, he did, which was 17. This kid from Temple, he had a decent rookie year, was invisible in 2018. And in 11 games, I think this kid started, he had one interception. The real Achilles heel for the Jets, Brian, is cornerback. So Douglas has to upgrade. And I think he's going to be concerned about cornerback all season long.
Well, I would say that on Saturday at 4 o'clock, when some of these teams are shaking loose, you know, upwards of 20 or 30 players, I mean, I would bet my bottom dollar that there'll be an Eagle on that new Jet roster and probably a Raven. The Eagles are going to shake loose at least one corner that I think can help them. And so Joe knows the league. He knows what's out there and what's going to be put on the street. And he's going to be grabbing whatever he can to upgrade that roster.
All right, before I let you go and throw to our update, you think the Dolphins are going to get Clowney, or is he going to end up where he really would like to go, either the Eagles, I believe, or where? The Ravens, possibly?
Well, it's a complicated deal, Steve. He's got to sign his tender, his franchise tender first, before anything happens. And then there's got to be adequate compensation, players and draft picks. And then the team that might still be able to do that have got to figure out a way to sign him after the year, which is going to be somewhere in the $100 million range. The Dolphins probably have the best ability to do it. The Eagles have certain players that the Texans would like. I don't know that they can fit him under their cap, although Howie Roseman is pretty much a genius like that. And he would fit in well in both Seattle and Philadelphia in the scheme that they run. He'd actually be a really good fit in both those places.
All right, Brian, I can't thank you. I feel like you're a co-host with me. I like that.
Invite me in there, Steve. I'd love to sit in with you.
You're the best, Brian, and we can't thank you enough for sitting in with us and spending a couple of minutes. Take care of yourself. We'll talk down the road.
Okay, my pleasure, Steve. You bet.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.